Everybody, welcome back to Medicare Agent IQ. I am Raul Gonzalez.
And I'm Oscar Ibieta.
And so the reason that we do this show is we're really just trying to help agents to be more successful selling Medicare. It's what we tell people all the time. There's a lot of agents out there that we see and just kind of hear it all the time. They're not getting a whole lot of support from their upline. And I wouldn't say a lot, right? It's probably 50-50. There's, you know, a lot of people out there that are getting adequate support, but kind of here for everybody. So
right. Anybody who could use a little bit more support and maybe have some questions or just want to learn a little bit more about a specific topic. We cover a lot of topics throughout.
Yeah. Like, and I would if you're a person that already knows everything, right? Like there are some people, like, I guess there's probably people that have been doing this longer than us that know the business. They might say, man, I know the business better. But if anything, it also could just be used as a tool to help you stay focused, help you to stay, like, keep your mind on Medicare. And there's a lot of times, even for myself, that I will hear something and be like, oh yeah, I did know that. I don't know why I stopped doing that, right? So we were just really trying to help people to be more successful selling Medicare, regardless of your experience level. So today I kind of wanted to talk about building positive relationships with people who are your competitors. And I think that's, for some, it's a hard thing to do, right? Like, man, I don't want to be friends with my competitors.
Yeah, I mean, I know some, you know, many people, they just super competitive. Maybe they grew up playing sports and they just, you know, they were maybe trained in a way to just hate the enemy and not have anything to do with him, not want anything to do with him. And when you cross paths, it's almost like, don't talk to that individual. Maybe, you know, give him a side eye or something, but it shouldn't be that way.
It doesn't have to be that way. It could be quite the opposite. You know what, when you said that, I was kind of reminded. So I will tell everybody, I'm actually a very competitive person. You know that. That you are also, but the way that we compete is a little bit different. Typically, when I allow myself to kind of go into that full competitive mode, I start to dislike the competition. And I was reminded when you said that when one time we were in a weight loss contest. This was like maybe like 5-6 years ago, and I remember, like, all of a sudden I started looking at you as the enemy and started, like, any conversations where I have, I was like, I just in my mind started kind of hating you. And I was like, you know what? I might need to back off a little bit and just not be so competitive. But, you know, and similarly, I think that when we're dealing with our competitors and when we're looking at our competitors, if we stop looking at them, or stop looking at this in as that type of competition, and then all of a sudden you can shift and maybe not be so angry at the competitors.
And it is possible to do that in this industry, and I think really you can find a way to make that a possibility in anything. But there's plenty of room for everybody to grow in this industry. And so if you can, you know, we look at competitors, but a lot of times I feel like we are able to kind of build off of the energy that we bring, and we make each other better in some ways, but it never feels like, okay, well, you know, where we get, you know, territorial, or we just, you know, we don't want them in any specific market or whatever it is that we might be doing, because really the truth is there's so much opportunity out there that we both, you know, or all of our competitors have the ability to grow in this industry. Okay,
guys, 11,000 people are turning 65 every day. Go and get your share. We'll all get our share. We don't have to be mad at each other. We don't have to have that. But I think one of the big things is maybe changing that competitive mindset to say, you know what, I am competing, but what if I'm competing against myself and competing against where I was yesterday instead? Like, I have a goal of being number one, and it's not you that's stopping me. And like, if we all can get this in our head, it's not the competitor that's stopping me from being number one. It's myself. Mm-hmm. It's, did I take off early on Friday and go play golf? What am I doing that's stopping myself from getting there? Don't blame the competitor for your, for the fact that you're not number one right now. Right?
Yeah. And there's a lot to say to that, because many times we get caught up, you know, spinning our wheels and thinking about what are the competitors doing, or why don't I have this, or why don't I have that? It's like all that energy that you're spending on, you know, focusing on your competitor and what it is that they're doing. You just take that energy and you spend that, you put that into your efforts, and you come up with a strategy that can make you more successful, that will get you to being to that number one spot.
Yeah, I was thinking about, reminded my son, he was, we were at like a track day at school, and he was racing against five other kids, and there was one other kid who's like super fast. And so they all started racing. And I'll be honest, the kid smoked my son. Like he beat him. But what I told him, I was like, look, the whole time that he was running, he's looking straight ahead at his goal. And I told my son, like, the whole time you were running and you were looking at the guy right next to you, that's not a way to win. You've got to get your eye on the prize. And in the same way, that's the only way that you're going to win in this business, is by just looking at the goal. Stop concentrating on what other people are doing. There's no reason to do that. Like let's just focus on what we're doing and figure out what you're doing to stop you from being number one. Yeah. Man, the other thing too is like, kind of just changing your mindset is like, don't make excuses of like why this other person's successful. People do that.
I am not a fan of that.
I hate it, right? Like, well, he's only great because, you know, he had a unique situation that it's excuses.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree?
Yeah. I mean, I think but even if somebody does end up in a unique situation, I'm willing to bet that all the work that they've put in over the years has led them to that particular unique situation. And many times we disregard that and we just say, all we're looking at is the end result, but they're not looking at all the work that individual may have put in to put them in a position to where they have this unique opportunity to capitalize and to have a successful, you know, AEP or whatever that may be.
Right. Yeah. Don't be a hater. Don't be a hater. Stop making excuses. So
but go out and create that for yourself. Like,
right.
You know, go out and it's a matter of doing things every single day, getting out there and doing something to move your business forward. We say that a lot, right? Go out there and do something every single day that's going to move your business forward. And if you can do that and your wins start to accumulate and there you probably will end up in a situation where you've got your own unique opportunity, but don't get distracted or start comparing yourself to other people. You've got to stay, like you told your son, right?
Don't be focused.
Stay focused on what your goal is and do what you have to do to get to that goal.
So let's talk real quick about what are some benefits of having that good relationship with your competitors. Just recently, and you know, obviously, like now, I don't sell as much, so my competitors are I view as other agency owners, other FMO owners, or even people who work for an NMA, like the national organization. But those are competitors. Through the years, have always, and you do as well, we always have like these good relationships with, I would say 99% of them. I have these, you know, relationships where I can actually text you like, hey buddy, how are you? Hope everything's going well. Just like randomly have that with these individuals. And overall, I would say that with everything that's happened recently with the proposed rule and even most recently, the final rule came out in, with everybody, with all of our main competitors, I was texting and be like, hey, what are you guys, how are you interpreting this? What is your NMA saying? What is, you know, and I heard from someone who was at Medicarians and they were like, yeah, don't worry. I just heard from Humana and from Aetna and they're saying that it's business as usual and things like that. And that's a benefit that you have to having a good relationship with your competitors is that you guys can like, again, like we don't have to be mad at each other. Let's figure out like, how to have these good and healthy conversations where it benefits us mutually to have.
Yeah, being able to talk through these things, right? Because we're having to deal with, you know, in talking about the final rule, right? We have to figure out what the plan is, what the next step is going to be. But it's good to be able to have a conversation because we're here in-house. We're having certain conversations, but we may not be hearing what's going on out there. And so having those relationships in place where you can reach out to somebody and say, hey, look, what is it that you're seeing? What are you hearing out there? I think it's super beneficial. But if you don't have those relationships in place with your competition because you're too competitive or you just don't want to deal with them, then it could handicap you in some ways, and you don't want that.
Absolutely. And you also don't want to be the person that walks around and like, oh, that person's around. Oh man, here we go. They bring that negative energy. We don't have to be that way. Mm-hmm. Just don't. Another benefit I would say of having these good relationships with competitors is there's opportunities to co-host events, right? Like I can be like, hey, look, I've got this event coming up. Any chance you want to, you know, collaborate on it? There was a situation where with a provider group not too long ago, and they were like, hey, man, we don't want to just limit ourselves to one agency. So we'd love for you to be there and love for another agency to represent out there. And so we went to this event where we were speaking in front of like 150 doctors, and it was a competitor and myself. We actually even drove up there together. Yeah. Again, that's how it can be. It doesn't have to be this, you know, we're mad at each other kind of thing. So we both show up and we both speak, and we both kind of just, we allow this opportunity for the other to speak, and just very respectful in how we do things, and ends up going very well. Those are the things that can happen when you make a decision to just kind of be cool with the competition, right? Yeah.
And then I think from an agent standpoint, right, there are times when I know, like in some of our local markets, we have some agents who work some retail. And right. Many times we share those retail spaces with other agencies. And so there may be a situation where we're relieving another agent, you know, we're switching shifts with another agent from a competitor, or vice versa. And so it's nice to be able to build a relationship. So that way you can maybe, you want to also respect each other. Right. If they, you know, you may come up to somebody or someone may come up to you during this retail session and say, oh, I was just talking to Bobby this morning and he was helping me with my insurance. You know, my hope would be that you would, redirect that person over to them if they've already started working with them, so that if you end up in a situation like that where you're talking to somebody during your shift and they end up, you know, dealing with another agent, that they may redirect them back to you, or maybe you already had the opportunity to enroll them and they come up and meet another agent at one of those shifts. And rather than giving that other agent an opportunity to switch their plan and make a change and potentially take your client from you, because you've built a good relationship with your competition, they will be more inclined to redirect them back to you.
For sure. What goes around comes around, yeah. Right? Like, and it will happen. So I think that's great. And I think that's another way to have good relationships, kind of in the strategy of what can you do to have a good relationship? Send the business back. Like, you don't have, again, we've talked about, there's enough to go around. You don't have to take from someone else just because they're your competitor, especially if they're like, yeah, I was just here, you know, this morning and I was talking with Bobby. But since you're here, I'll go ahead and talk to you. Like, well, you know what? Let me go ahead. I actually have Bobby's number. Let me get it mm-hmm. for you. And I would even tell the senior, if I were in Bobby's shoes, I would hope that he would do the same, send him back to me. And so a lot of times the clients will understand that.
And in doing that, by redirecting them back to Bobby and sending Bobby a message and saying, hey, your client was just here, or the person that you were working with was just here, he's going to appreciate that. Bobby will appreciate that, and we'll keep that in mind the next time. I was like, okay, you know, Oscar's a pretty good guy to work with. He actually, instead of signing this individual up, he redirected them back to me. And so you would hope that they're going to return the favor.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes, I mean, you know, it theoretically all this works, right? But every once in a while you'll run into someone who maybe doesn't do things in that way. And we've seen that. But overall, I feel like we can only worry about how we handle things. Mm-hmm. And if you just do the right thing, it'll always end up coming back to you. Yeah. So let's talk real quick about kind of some strategies of working on those positive relationships. I would say remain humble is a big one. And what I'm talking about is, let's just say that you end up being in, you know, so like United Healthcare here in San Antonio, they send out a top 10 list of performing agencies or agents. And it's like every single month you get to see who's on the board. And one of the big things, it's kind of like, especially since they're the largest carrier here in San Antonio with the most production, like it's a good thing to be on that list, right? But if you're on that list and someone, one of the competitors comes up and says, hey, congratulations. Like, I think that it's very important to remain humble in that, not be like, yeah, man, can you believe it? Every single month, that kind of thing. Like, that's not how to handle it. Like, at least the way that I would is be like, oh, man, thanks so much. I really appreciate it, man. I've just been blessed or whatever it is, and kind of deflect of like, I'm not just great. I've been blessed to have a bunch of referrals coming in, that kind of thing, instead of having kind of like this arrogant attitude that I see sometimes people have, is like, you don't have to be that way. Yeah. Like just go in and then compliment the other person. Always look for an opportunity to turn it around. And I think that can really be a blessing to people. You know, that there's a lot of pride in this business, and it's how, you know, if you're operating in your pride, it might cause some others to bristle, yeah, and vice versa. So I would say that you definitely want to remain humble is a great strategy. And then another one is assuming the best in other people. Yeah. So what do we mean by that?
Yeah, well, you may run into situations where maybe you're having a conversation with somebody and they're telling you a story about a conversation that they had with someone else, and they may say, well, this individual said that this was what was going on with you, or this was the scenario that they ran into. And you may think for a second, like, wait a second, that's not what I said, or that's not how I said it. And initially you might react in a way that's to say, I can't believe that they did that. But maybe they didn't exactly say it that way. Or maybe when they were trying to tell the story, it may have come out that way, but that's not the way that they meant to say it. And so I'm going to go with that, right? I'm going to assume that they didn't mean to say it that way, or maybe it was misinterpreted or lost in communication somewhere, rather than just jump into conclusion and now making that individual a total enemy to me, when really that wasn't the case to begin with.
Yeah, and we've got to do that. I mean, honestly, that's a life lesson. Like, you have to assume that, you know, the best in other people, and sometimes you're wrong. Unfortunately, not everybody is this great individual, but I think that you have to do that, and it's also good for your own mental health, right? Mm-hmm. Like, just like, look, they probably didn't mean that I was terrible. Like, they probably that's not what they meant. And a lot of times, there are multiple interpretations that you could have. And just like for me, I'm just gonna, man, they're a great person. I know that they wouldn't do this. I think that goes a long way, and it's probably helped a lot of my relationships continue on. Is like, I'm like, I know that this individual is not that way. Another thing is, like, if you hear that, let's go back real quick. Another thing is, never talk bad about any of your competitors. And I mean, whether it be to customers, which is a bad look on you anyway, right? Yeah. Like, if you're telling customers, yeah, like that, don't trust that guy or whatever it is. But I think that not talking bad about your competitors in any way is a very, very important thing for a lot of reasons. But I'll say the number one reason is it will get back to them. Mm-hmm. And man, I can't tell you how many times that I've heard that so-and-so said something about me, or, you know, I'm like, man, like, why are you saying, like, I'm going to, like, it gets back to everybody. And so you have to just assume, like, this is a very small, like, it's a large industry, but a very small industry when you really think about it. Like, we all know each other, right? And so, so I would say, for a few reasons, one, don't talk bad about anyone, but it's like, how would you feel if you found out, like, that they heard that you were saying this? So my strategy in life is, I would never say anything about someone that I wouldn't say directly to them.
Right.
And I think that's a way to go through life. Any thoughts on that?
No, I mean, I love that. And I think I feel the same way, because if you are doing that, stop. Don't, you know, no longer do that, because it says a lot about your character in who you are as an individual. So my thing is, if I don't have, I know it sounds very cliche to say, right, but if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. So usually when I'm talking about people, I'm finding the positive in them or finding positive things to say about that individual.
Even if it's a struggle, right?
Even if it's a struggle, yeah. As opposed to just immediately talking about the negative. And that's that can be a difficult thing to do, because sometimes you may be in a conversation with someone where they open up the negativity about that individual. And maybe they would like for you to also start sharing some of those, you know, similar negative opinions. Even at that, I still refrain from doing that.
Yeah.
I'll listen to what it is that they're saying, but at the same time, I'm not gonna jump into that pool with them and start making, you know, negative opinions about that individual.
It happens at happy hours that the carriers and provider groups host all the time, right? Like they're like it. I used to, when I cared more about what other people thought in that way, like I used to like stay longer at some of these happy hours that I really wanted to be there, because I was like, well, I didn't want to leave because I know as soon as I leave, they're going to start talking about me the way that they're talking about other people. And I'm like, man, here's what I would tell everyone who's a competitor of mine, and the way that I would recommend to live your life is, like, for you, Oscar, if you ever heard that I was saying something bad about you, you would never believe it. It's not something that you would believe, right? Because you know it's not my character to talk bad about people. It's not my character to talk bad about someone when they're not there. Like, I do tend to roast part of if you want to be one of my friends, part of that friendship is that I'm probably going to roast you, and we're going to have make jokes about each other and that, but it's always going to be right in front of you. And it's always going
to
be something
right
I would say
what you said.
Right to you. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And it's always going to be. And then, but also one, I will say that there was one time that I think I made a mistake, and I actually addressed it with a friend, and it was an awkward thing, but I might have said, and I don't know for sure how it would, but it sounds like something I would have done. Like I made a joke about I made a joke that I would have normally made to him, but I made it in mixed company, and it got back to him. And so I know that didn't feel good. And it's like, well, I would have said that directly to you, but my lesson learned here was that even though I would have said it directly to him, because he's my friend, and that I felt awful, because I never would want anyone to think that I'm being catty with my friend. Mm-hmm. That's not what I want to put out. So like what I learned is, even though I would sometimes roast you to your face, when you're not there, and this is for any of our competitors or anyone out there, like I might roast you to your face, but I'm only going to say good things about you when you're not, when you're not around. I think that's a good strategy. Not just in Medicare, but in life, like in your friend groups and everywhere, but especially in Medicare, because we have such a small group of people that we all know each other.
Yeah, I think you can apply all of these things to your everyday life as well. Yes, of course, everything is specific to the industry that we're in, but if we just removed Medicare, you know, topics from all this, this would be a good life lesson, you know, for you to take when you're out there. Just apply, you know, you don't want to be one person, you know, in the work field in your industry, and then be somebody completely different when you're not. I try to carry myself the same way in a professional manner all the time, even when I leave the house. Like, right. I'm not leaving the house, and I won't leave in gym clothes or just kind of looking like I just rolled out of bed. And sometimes my wife will tease me for it. She's like, "We're just going here."
Oscar's a diva, by the way.
She's like, "We're just going here." I was like, "Yeah, but I'm still gonna fix my hair, and I'm still gonna, because I don't want to. What if I run into somebody that I know or in the work industry? I want to carry myself in a way to where I'm all, you know, acting professional at all times. And I don't think it's an act,
right?
It is. It's who I am. It's who I want to be. And I feel like that, you know, being that person, not having to turn it on and off, just being on all the time. Is something that can go a long way for you and can have a positive impact in your work life if you're able to do that, because naturally you're going to create relationships with people outside of work, and it could be where you're not intentionally trying to, you know, have it, you know, come into your work life, but it might. You might open up a conversation, or you might connect with somebody, and maybe they've got some relationships or some opportunities that could have a positive impact on your business. But if you've got the on and off switch, and you switch it off, and you become somebody who maybe you're just making comments about people or telling stories about people, or you're just not, you know, they're just not totally likable, you know, 100% likable, then they might not be as inclined to want to work with you. So maybe you're missing out on some opportunities just because you turn that switch off. So in my opinion, you know, I would say always have it on if you can.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, well, that it's like, look, I'm authentic individual. This is just who I am. Like I'd like to think I'm well put together and that I'm not talking bad about people when they're not there, just doing all the things that I would hope that my competitors would act like, mm-hmm. right? Like, I just want to do that. So, hey, so really that was the heart of our show today. We really just wanted to have some conversations about that and just kind of open up a dialogue. Let's do the best that we can of building relationships, of not looking at those competitors as competition. And just last thing is just let's look at ourselves as our competition. Mm-hmm. Where am I better? Am I doing better than I was last year? Am I doing better this month than I was last month? Like when you listen to Greg Popovich talk to their team from the San Antonio Spurs, he always says that the goal for us is that we're getting better every single game, which we haven't seen this season. Side note. So and anyway, until next time, we really appreciate any engagement, get a lot of messages, and I get a lot of direct messages. Feel free to post those on our YouTube channel, and any kind of questions that you have, throw it out there. We're happy to respond. So until next time, continue to build relationships.